Take your Bibles, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. Let's read these two verses together, verses 15 and 16. And remember, we're just trying to study things this year. This is the study of church membership. This is something a church probably ought to go through every once in a while. And, it's just a good thing it helps solidify things that current members already know. And it's interesting because just in 4.5 years, how many of you remember the first messages that I preached? I knew you would raise your hand. All right. But you know what? We kind of forget, right? How about the first Sunday school series I went through? Right? These things need to be rehearsed, all right? Refreshed, etc. These are very important. I don't know how life works. So let's read together these two verses, beginning together in verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in this flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received into glory. Tonight we're going to be talking about church music. Isn't that great? And specifically, not Atlantically. I never try to talk Atlantically. I always try to talk Pacifically. And y'all got that, right? I know that's a hard one. That's a tough one. It's fun, though. No, specifically, though, in the area of the choir, the church choir, and special music. Yes. All right. I have big and bold, number one. It says here to make sure to always uplift and honor the true worship leader of the church. So we got to make sure that we always give due to Brother Camp and actually to Mrs. Camp and all she does for the church music program. The church music program is a very important program. Okay. A lot of times if a church is going to start to sway in its foundations, it's going to be in the area of music. It's going to be one of the first chinks in the armor, if you will, that cause a church to fall and falter. So we've got to be very careful about our music. And so there are some guidelines and things that we need to realize. If you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, as you turn there, I want to read a portion of Scripture. Please make no mistake. Now, I am later on. After we get through this, we actually are going to do somewhat of a music workshop of our own here. And I am going to teach you a few things about the elements of music and what makes, if you will, the right kind of music and the wrong kind of music. All right. Do you understand that if I were to have Brother Michael come up here, very quickly, in just a few seconds, you could tell if something was in a, if you will, traditional church style, or if it was in a jazz style or country and western style, or, you know, there's different kinds of music. All right. That's a very plain and simple truth. And guess what kind of music ought to be in the local church? Okay, the right kind. Okay. Now, there are some things even further than that and deeper than that, if you will, about how the different tones and different chord progressions cause us and cause us our bodies to respond. And guess what? That's important. We're supposed to keep our bodies under subjection. Folks, we have natural fleshly desires. And you know where we need to keep them? Buckled down. All right? And certainly we need to keep them dead and not feed them. Because remember, we don't feed dead things. We talked about that this morning. Right? Okay? So that's something very important. And we're not going to go that deep tonight. I want you to know that. That's like about a 3-month study right there, okay? So we're going to get to that later on. But we just want to talk about the guidelines of church choir and special music. So as we've been talking through these different levels of leadership, as we've gone through that, in order to be a part of things like the choir, if you will, in the audio video ministry, you need to be at a level 2. Okay, so you need to be a church member. You need to regularly attend church. You need to be a part of things just around the church. Just be a regular at church, okay? And then level two, you need to fill out the background check permission for a background check, etc. And to be an active part of the local ministry and be familiar with what goes on here and be in tune with what goes on here. All right. And so you're kind of growing past the level one, just kind of here helping out, having a presence. But now we're actually going to be actually part of the service. We're going to come up here and we're going to sing unto the Lord with the congregation, in front of the congregation. And these young ladies, let's see, both of you, your parents were already members when you were born into this world. Is that right? And where'd they go? There they are. Where? They're hiding. Oh, hi, there's one. Oh, you're hiding. I'm back there. Andrew, move your big head. Okay. All right. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, a little taller. All right, good. But, you know, they've been here all their lives. But can I tell you something? To be fair, that doesn't qualify them to sing special music in our local church. All right. But you did a great job. And I'm very proud of you both. Okay. Can I say that? Is that all right? Okay. Yeah. Didn't they do a lovely job? I think they did. Okay. Now, but so now we're taking another step, if you will. And these things are important. So with this responsibility comes some accountability, right? And some actual fervor in what we're doing. So let me give you the purpose for a choir and special music. I told you to go read something. You're there in Ephesians, right? Let me read this to you in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And it came to pass when the priests, at the beginning of verse 11, you can just write it down if you want to. I didn't tell you to turn here. When the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen. So we're gonna do choir robes, white linen choir robes, right? Run the camp? What do you think? Yeah, we're gonna do it. They were there, and they were arrayed with white linen, and having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar. And with them, 120 priests sounding trumpets, Brother Dart. Praise God! I don't even think I could hear myself think with two trumpets, let alone 120 of them. All right? There we go. And so we have to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. And so you can't read the scriptures without understanding that God is a God of music. Okay? And by the way, there was great diligence and order in how the music went on in the house of God. Okay? So that's what we wanted to look at. Now, you're there in Ephesians 5. Look at verse 19. Paul says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So you understand that this is the heart, if you will, of church music. Being a part of the choir, being a part of special music. Let me just state, number one, it is not performance. This is not a performance. This is not a concert. Right? This is not, and by the way, it's not for you, and it's not for the people doing it. It's for our God. So the purpose of special music and the choir music and all the music that's played, the offertories, the prelude, the postlude, all those things, is to glorify God. Okay? That's all we want to have the music for. a person that I know and I were having a conversation one time about music, and they just made the comment that, oh, those old hymns don't move me. They don't make me feel like I'm worshiping God. And why is that important? Okay? Not important. Because who does it matter that feels like worship is happening? God. Okay? As long as he feels like worship is happening, we're good, right? Doesn't matter if we feel like we're worshiping God or not. No, it doesn't matter at all. God is to be worshipped how God wants to be worshipped, not how we want to worship God. By the way, how did the individual's feelings about worship, or if you will, sacrifice, work out for the person that did that way, and the other one did it God's way? Yeah, Cain and Abel, remember those guys? Yeah, one brought how they felt they were worshiping God, and guess what? It wasn't accepted. And the other one did what God said, and it was accepted. Same's true with worship. So you can feel like you want all warm and fuzzy, and oh yeah, I worship God today, but if you didn't worship God the way he wants to be worshiped, then you didn't worship God. You worshiped yourself, basically, because you made yourself feel good. So we're to glorify God through music. The second purpose of special music is to provide an opportunity for people to become involved in the church program. So guess what that is? What's the church program? To worship God. To glorify God. And guess what? Guess who gets to be involved in that? You. You. God wants the body of Christ to be involved. An involved body. So we want the people to be involved in the church program, and we want it to be a blessing to the people of God, to the congregation. Now, it should be a blessing. When we worship God the way he wants to be worshiped, it will bless you. That's not the motive, it's a side effect. If you don't come to church, or you shouldn't come to church saying, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, right? What's in it for me? But if you come to church saying, God, I'm giving you, I'm giving to you, I'm giving to you, guess what? You're going to get something. That's not the motive, it's a byproduct. And it's the right byproduct. When we worship God the way he wants to be worshipped, then our motive is to glorify God, not to look good in front of others. We will receive a blessing for that. Because God loves to give good gifts to his children. So God wants to bless us, but he's not going to bless us if we're in it for ourselves. If you stand up here with a songbook and sing for your glory, that's all you're going to get. The glory of men. You're not going to get the blessings of God. Now, if you sing up here, if you get up here and you sing to the glory of God and for the worship of God, you'll receive a blessing. Because you're not in it for yourself. You're in it for God, and therefore God will bless you. So we understand this is the purpose of choir and special music. So have the right motive as you surrender yourself. Listen, can I tell you this? Dr. Smith would always say this. He said there are several different types of people. There are people that can carry a tune. There are, ready? Let's hear your tunes. Okay. All right. There are some people who cannot carry a tune, right? And then there are some people who can carry a tune in a bucket. You know, they need lots of help. And then there are some people who are not even qualified, as he says in his East Texas fashion, to tote the bucket. Okay? There are those kinds of musicians, all right? Did anybody fit in that category? Stop it. You can sing. We had a wonderful friend, drives a church bus, usher, one of my usher captains, over in Arlington. One of the nicest men, a godly man, loved the Lord, but boy, to hear him sing. But it was a joyful noise. It really was. I mean, you couldn't hardly stand it, but a joyful noise. But he'd sing out, and it was awful. But it was wonderful, too. You understand? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, and I'm for it. I really am. I'm not. I would never make fun of that. But just because it's about worshiping our God. But we ought to want to use our talents for the Lord, our abilities for the Lord. So we have some guidelines for our church choir. Well, one of the first guidelines is you must be a member of the local church. That's important. Hey, jump in. The water's fine. Come join the church. You know, you ought to come and be a part of a church where you know God wants you to be. And listen, you don't have to be a perfect Christian. You don't have to say, well, yeah, I've mastered all the doctrines that the church believes. And yeah, I'm you know, capital B Baptist. And you just have to say, look, I do agree with these things. I may not know them all yet, but I'm working on it. But I want to join this church. I want to become part of this body of Christ. That's a start. I mean, nobody that's ever joined a church is the perfect member right off the bat. And some of us are still not perfect members, okay? Even after we've had the bat a long time. But you gotta be a member of the church. You need to be a part of and committed to this local congregation. That church covenant we went over many weeks ago, is a very important part of our documents. Cause it's I engage to be a part of this local body of believers. And we ought to be that way. So if you want to be in the choir or sing in special music, you've got to be a member of the church. And then we have a little extra that you've got to be at least in the ninth grade. Okay? That's okay. All right? Now, we do have a teen group, special group. You can be a part of that and not be in the ninth grade. That's fine. We have our children's church comes and sings sometimes up here. And that's wonderful, too. Okay, but those are separate things. But to be a part of the choir, we want you to be in the ninth grade and up. And I suppose that, you know, should apply to even adults. If you haven't finished the ninth grade, we need to make sure we get you your GED. Okay, all right. Now, but no, I'm just teasing. You say, well, what age group? I don't know. What is that? 15 or 16 years old, something like that. 14. Okay, I don't know. It depends on when you were born, you know, what part of the year, all right? But ninth grade and up. You must attend Sunday school and all possible services, you know, because church attendance is important. Okay, so you need to come and be here. Don't just be one of those people that say, well, I just want to come for the thing that I do. You know, so, you know, I work at the nursery on Wednesday nights, so I'm only coming Wednesday nights. Can I tell you something? That's not healthy. You need to come and be a part of teaching and preaching and learning and growing and serving. That's all very, very important. You ought to be here as much as possible. You ought to be regularly attend church. That's a good thing. Regularly attend church. You must abide by choir dress guidelines. You say, well, Pastor, you know, why does it matter what I wear to church? Can I tell you something? You could probably wear anything you want to wear to church. But we're not going to let you sing in the choir. It's just, you know, do you know that workplaces have dress codes? Hey, even stadiums have dress codes. You know, like sporting stadiums and places, athletic places, some of those places have dress codes. So why can't the church have a dress code? Especially for service. If you're going to stand up here and represent our church and our Savior, there's a dress code. And guess what? It's okay. It's okay, yeah. You say, well, I don't like it. Then don't sing in the choir. You know? Or go to a church that has a dress code that you agree with that allows you to sing in the choir. I mean, that's your choice, right? But it's our choice to have a dress code. And so we have a dress code. Men should wear dress clothes and a tie and a coat. You know, is that okay? Yeah. Do you think I do this because I like wearing a tie? I don't like wearing a tie.
So why do you wear a tie?
Because it's appropriate, right? It looks nice. It does look nice, right? It helps. Helps cover up the ugly. That's why I wear a beard, right? Helps cover up the ugly. Brother Holly said was teasing about my beard. I got a lot of ugly to cover up, you know? I decided since I can't grow it here, I might as well grow it here. You know, that works for me. So, but thank you, Brother Brian. He and I have the same problem. you don't have to necessarily wear a suit, guys, but you ought to wear, you know, a nice pair of slacks and maybe complimentary coat, you know, maybe so tan slacks and a navy blue coat, you know. You ought to look nice. We don't need any psychedelic colors or anything like that, you know, things like that. It should be appropriate. Having a nice tie, having a nice coat, I have to work with my boys at this all the time. An ironed shirt. There's been times where I look at them and just say, did you iron that with a rock? You know, I mean, back in caveman era, you know, and it just got, you know, wrinkles all over it. It's like, you know, we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. It's okay to go all out for him. It's okay to dress up. And by the way, it's right. I mean, we could, if you wanted, we could go Old Testament, folks. We could break out the white linen garments. Anybody? You know what? Have I worn that here? I have. Once. I need to break out my white linen suit. I've got a white linen suit. Yeah, wow. It's really cool. I love it. Except I hate it. You know why? You look at it funny and it wrinkles. I'm serious. I look like a wrinkle bomb whenever I wear that thing. how many of you remember seersucker? Yeah, seersucker. That the material, you know, in the 50s. Was it the 50s, right? Huh? Yeah? 60s? Okay. Some of you older folks are looking at me, okay? Ethan, you had a seersucker suit, right? When you were a teenager? Didn't we find one? Somebody gave that to me, and it was old. It was like authentic. Who was that? Do you remember? Mrs. Flory? Was it from Brother Flory? Brother Harold Flory. He actually worked for J. Frank Norris over in Fort Worth. He was a preacher. He passed away just a couple years ago in his 80s, 90s. But his wife gave us an authentic 1950s seer. Do we still have that thing? No? That's classic. It should be in a museum somewhere. Seersucker suit. You all know what I'm talking about. Okay, anyways, I'm chasing rabbits here. All right, now, but you understand, this is just something appropriate. It's just right to be and look nice in a church. Ladies must wear modest dress apparel with dresses or skirts that come below the knee. A lady in the choir must not wear low-cut tops, plunging necklines, transparent clothing, or clothes that are tight, form-fitting, or distracting. And I'm going to just put on there, duh. Okay? Why? Just because. You're not trying to draw attention to you. We're trying to draw attention to God, to our great God. And I don't want to be a distraction. Okay? So it ought to be something that doesn't cause people to get their eyes on you. We want people to have their eyes on Jesus Christ. Okay? And so this is what's important for the choir. Now, you should be able to attend the Sunday night practices regularly. Because we have Sunday night practices.
Almost regularly.
Yeah, we do. And you ought to be here. The choir will be, this is actually in here. The choir will be under the direction of the choir director, the Reverend Dr. Reg Camp. Okay? No, I'm just kidding. Greg Camp. Okay. We love our choir director. Brother Camp, how long have you been doing this? Yeah, 22, 23 years. Okay, so listen, I love that. As a pastor coming into a local church that I somewhat know, but you know how wonderful it is to have stability in places of leadership? It's fantastic. It's comforting. A lot of preachers may fret and worry over the music program. I don't. Because there's a rock over there. Stability. I mean that. I mean that with all sincerity. I love that faithfulness that he brings to this position. That's why I'm not going to fire him. He keeps asking about getting fired. I'm not going to fire him. So, no, and you know what? I love that. And it's a blessing to have good leadership in our churches. Now, practices of a good choir member. Remember that you're presenting the first, if you will, note of the church service. You know how important first impressions are. So when we come up, I mean, Brother Camp, he's sitting up here, and he's getting ready for church, and you know, everybody's kind of milling about. You ever notice how he starts every Sunday morning? He does this. He stands up, and what happens? The choir stands up, and they come up here. Is that special, folks? That's special. It's signifying the beginning of the service. And they come in here and they get in position and he gets his music ready and things. And that opening chorus, it's the opening of our service. We're beginning the worship of the Lord God, the Lord our God. Did you notice that when the priests were come out of the holy place because they got sanctified and the singers came out, and what happened? Boom! I mean, could you imagine that sound? With the trumpets and the voices and all the different instruments and all the things. And boy, it was so great that the glory of God descended upon that place, and the ministers couldn't even minister because it was just so thick in there. And that's how that's the opportunity we have to give that impression. So show up for practice. Be on time Sunday morning. Smile and look pleasant. Oh, by the way, that one could tear everything down. Let me see here. Let me see. Oh, here we go. That's a good one, okay?
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
How'd you feel? Depressed. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's how I always sing. come on. Does that help? Does that help the attitude of the worship service? No. So smile, look pleasant, sing out, blend in with the group. Oh, that's another thing. Can I pick on you? You is that okay? Do you mind? You like being picked on? I have a loud son. He gets it from his father. I had to learn something, and I had great teachers in music in my life. But when you sing, you're supposed to blend with the other voices. Do you notice in one of the passages we read that these people, they sounded as one. So in other words, you didn't hear Bob belting out in the choir. You know, or you know, Sarah, you know, almost grabbing that high note, you know. So where were you guys at? What were you doing? Where were we at? Was it the caroling? Christmas caroling. We're out Christmas caroling. And listen, I'm not faulting him. He was just, you know, belting out the tune. What were we singing, like, you know, Silent Night or something, you know? Maybe? And I walked over there and it's like, you're too loud. And all I can hear is you, you know? No, but it's another time you were singing and, we were at home. We were practicing, you guys were practicing for a special, there at the house. And I could hear him. Now he's the lead and that's good. But I said, if you can't hear the other people, then you're too loud. You know, so you gotta listen to others around you and blend your voices. And he did. You cut it about 50% and it was better. All right. Right. Am I right? I'm not scolding him. You all understand what I'm talking about. He learned it. Did you learn? Okay, good. That's good. Learning is good. Blend in with the group. Okay. I love this. By the way, I didn't write these. Brother Raspberry did. I just get to read them to you. By the way, I agree with them all. But here's what he says. I love number 6. No dancing in the choir. I love it. And then he says this. Not even a little bit. This is classic James Raspberry. I love it. That's what it says here. It says, no dancing in the choir loft. Not even a little bit. All right. And then he has number 7, no hand raising or carrying on. We're Baptists, so act like it. Okay? Brother Raspberry wrote this. Okay, I love it. No, but honestly, again, what does all of that often do? Distracts. Okay, it distracts. And let me tell you something. We have some neighbors over here. It's all about the flesh. Now, they claim it's the Holy Ghost. It's some kind of ghost, ain't the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, listen. Does the Holy Spirit ever magnify himself or mankind? No. He says that he's not going to. What does the Holy Spirit magnify? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his job. So if you're going to claim you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're drawing all attention to you, you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said that grammatically incorrect on purpose. Okay? You're not. And so a lot of times, all this kind of stuff, all it does is draw attention to you. And that's not what it's for. And we need to make sure that we're not lifting up ourselves and we're not magnifying ourselves, that we are here to glorify and to honor God. And so those things are important. Guidelines for special music in the church. The following guidelines have been prepared for the special music ministry of our church because music is a very important part of our lives and it's a very important part of our church. God has showed us the importance of music by giving us the Psalms. That's the longest book in our Bible, right? By chapter wise. And you understand that we're supposed to sing in what? What did Ephesians say? Psalms. Right? Did you know these are songs? I love scripture songs. Okay? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, things like that. What's another one out of Psalms, actually, that I could sing? Help me. What? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. Come on, don't leave me hanging here. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Okay, so you can have fun with it. Your scripture songs. We used to sing scripture songs in our opening assembly in the Christian school. We sing all kinds of scripture songs. There's wonderful scripture songs. Okay? But so you can sing the Psalms. There were songs. We have hymns, right? And by the way, in our church for this year, the pastor made an executive decision that we're all of the music, the offertories, the special music, and I appreciate the ladies going along with this and doing the different things. They're going to be hymns. We're going to do hymns. It's safe. It's safe. You say, oh, does that mean there's no good music out there? Oh, there's plenty of good music out there. But I guarantee you, flip through that book there. Actually, we did it today. What was that one we were singing here just a minute ago? What number was it? 381? I knew all the songs we were singing tonight. You know most of them. Yeah. So right next door to 381, He's a Wonderful Savior to Me, is 382. That's right next door to 381. Okay, no surprise. Majestic Sweetness. Who has ever heard that hymn? Seriously? You have? I have not. At least I don't think I have. You know that one, Brother Losey? Okay. I don't. Samuel Stennett wrote it, I guess. Let's see, which one's which? Is the author on the left? Okay, and then the music is on the right. So the music by Mr. Hastings. Okay. I don't think, do I know this one, dear? You don't know it either? Okay. We don't know this one. Okay. Yeah, we're going to learn a new hymn, Brother Camp. Brother Camp knows it. But you know, I mean, just flip, I mean, how many of these do you really know? Now, I've been involved in church music for a long time. I would guess my knowledge of this hymn book to be about 75%. That's pretty, I think, pretty cool. I would guess the average church member is at 25%. Obviously, our choir director knows one that I don't know. Let's see if I can find one that you don't know. What? Yeah, amen. 383? What's that one? I'm a soldier. I know that one. You know that one? No, I'm a soldier in the army of the king. Yeah, it's a good one. I'm a soldier in the army, and the call to battle loudly rings. Oh, that's kind of how it goes. Okay? Yeah. That's the chorus. That's a good one, Brother Holling said. Brother Minter, right? Soldier in the army. Yeah? Okay. So, anyways, how was that? Well, hymns. Okay? rabbit trail. All right, now, as we serve the Lord, the special music program enhances the effectiveness of the service. Okay? It brings a special thing to it. That's why it's called special music. All right? That's good. Now, but when improperly used, can ruin a service. It can. Why? Because it brings the wrong spirit. Okay? So it's important. Music is such a powerful influence. It is a tool both for God and, if you will, the devil. Okay, it's a thing, right? So what's the thing you've heard out there about music? That it's what? Amoral, right? Which means it has no morality. Okay, that is not true. All right, you can have good music, and you can have bad music. All right. So, how many of you have ever heard the saying that you live on the level of the music you listen to? Be careful what you listen to. Don't just listen to any music out there. Okay? It's not all good. You say, well, how do I know? You probably have an idea. Okay? Let me give you just a common rule of thumb. If it moves your body, just say no. Okay? That's a very basic, elementary thing. But if it stirs your soul, probably yes. That's good. Okay? Now, if it stirs your emotions, that's kind of a tough one. But if that's all it does is stir your emotions, then it's probably not. Okay? Good. You gotta, because you gotta guard you gotta be careful. Because If something's built on emotions, it's not built on the right thing. All right? And certainly if it stirs up your flesh, Okay? That's not how it's supposed to be. So we got to be careful about our singing and those guidelines. Where did the time go? All right. Now, to those who sing special music, you should dress according to the dress code of the choir. Ta-da! That's not that hard, is it? Okay? Now, we're going to go over the general church dress code, if you will, because, listen, it's important for us to follow God's guidelines in everything. And how we dress is important. And how we present ourselves to the Lord is important. In the Old Testament, you realize that when Aaron and the priests went forth to minister, they had to do it in a certain fashion. In a certain fashion. Like clothing fashion. Aha! Double meaning there of the words. Okay? So, we need to make sure that basic rule of thumb for dress is if it's questionable, don't wear it. If you look at yourself in the mirror, which I hope you do, that's a good thing to do. If you look at yourself and you say, does this make me look? Then don't. Okay? A little husband and wife. What's it called? Edification, encouragement. Guys, just be careful. That's a loaded question. Okay? If her words start with the phrase, does this make me just, oh, I gotta go get the car started. Okay? just avoid the question. Because if you say yes, you're done. If you say no, you're done. You know, just be careful. That's terrible. Anyways, I'm just teasing, ladies. Now, but if it's questionable, don't. Okay, and if you say, well, man, you know, I saw this, you know, rapper or this musical group, and I look just like them. Then don't. Okay, that's not what you want to base yourself off of. Okay. So be careful with those things. The purpose of special music is to glorify God, not the one singing it. It's not a performance. Now, should you do your best? Yes, you should. And should it be done well? Absolutely. Why? To look good in front of the congregation. No. Because you're doing it for the Lord. That's why. So we need to make sure that we sing with the right motives. Pride and vainglory are always attached, if you will, to our talents. So you've got to be careful. And so you've got to realize we are but flesh. So we have to keep those things in check. By the way, let me just put this on me for a second. Do you think that I, as your pastor, want you to say at the end of the message, boy, Pastor, that was a great sermon? Absolutely. Why? Because of me and my pride? No. Because that means that it was a message from God to you and it was received well. Do you understand that? So if I get up and I sing a special music piece, I want you to think it was great. Not because I'm a great singer, but because our God's a great God. Do you realize that? Okay? And so listen. Sometimes one of the things that preachers and special musicians and choir musicians and piano players have is this thing of false pride. Have you heard of that? Oh, no, it wasn't very good. No, you know. Well, yeah, maybe it was good. Ladies, maybe your duet was good tonight. And you know what? So it's okay to say, you know what? Thank you. I'm glad you appreciated it. Praise the Lord. We're deflecting, we're acknowledging, yeah, okay, we did a good job. It's good to do a good job. It's good to do your best. It's good to prepare and plan and study. Look, we could preach for hours here. I planned, I prepared, I studied. How long do you want to stay? No, but you understand, though, that That's great. You ought to work a song. You ought to sing it. I think you ought to have songs memorized. I think you do much better with the song memorized. And it's again, we're not doing it because we want to look good to the people, but we want the people to receive the blessing. We want God to receive the glory, right? And so we ought to do our best. And it's okay to say, you know what? Thank you. praise the Lord. Or amen, that was, I'm glad you enjoyed that. I'm glad it touched your heart. Give God the glory. Or you can say something like, I'm just glad to be able to be used by God. That's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not taking any of the glory for myself, but I am acknowledging that our God is a great God and that He does give talents and abilities to people to be used for His glory. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not pride. That's not arrogancy. That's giving God the credit for what He's created. Hey, what was it that Brother Smith and Anna are kindred spirits? When we first moved here, Anna was a year old, and I don't know if this is after probably when she was about three, I suppose. She came in the auditorium or whatever. He came in. She was there, and this is when she was just first learning to talk. And he came up to her and he said to her something to the effect of, Anna, you know, did God make you, or something like that? He was talking to her and he was talking to her about, you know, God created, you know, making her, and he said, you're a pretty young girl, and you know, God made you. And she looked at him and said, God made a mess. You know, just as frank as can be, and he laughed and laughed and laughed, because you know it was cute. But you know, folks, God don't make junk. God made us in His image, and we're to honor and glorify God to the best of our ability. And you know what? It should be good, and it's okay for people to say, "Hey, that was good. That blessed my heart. That really, really touched my soul, if you will." Or, and listen, it's not bad to say thank you. But don't take that glory for yourself. Make sure God gets the glory for it. And so those things are important there. All right. Now I'm going to finish this next time. I only have a few more here, but you understand, we hold these strict guidelines because we want to toe the line. These are important. We cannot afford folks to give away any ground. The devil is trying to look for footholds, for opportunities to get into the local church. And no, we cannot budge. Not even an inch. We've got to hold fast to these things. Kids, what did we learn today, right? Take fast hold of them. Don't let them get away. And we got to make sure we have our opportunities to stand firm on the foundations of godly music. And you know what? It's okay to be a little bit strict. Doesn't God deserve the best and our best effort? So I know that's a lot. I know that's kind of a tough stand, if you will, on the area of music, but it's important, especially if you know the statistics. That it's one of the first things to go. It's the front lines of the fight. And we've got to fight valiantly for the Lord.